Perfect, perfect, perfect. I'm a horse in the gate, ready to be loosed. Are you ready? Amen. Are you ready? Okay, we're going to try that again. I'm a horse in the gate. I'm a prophet. I'm a Job 39, 19 prophet. I'm in the gate. I'm ready to be loosed. I'm ready for war. You know, I'm always a son of God. That's always my identity. But I am First Nation. I'm from the Osage tribe in Osage County, Oklahoma. And there are some times that I know I'm entering the warrior in me. The Osage were a warring tribe. If you saw their weaponry, you would know these men know how to war. Their women know how to war. And the warrior in me this morning says, we're going for something that you did not have before you came to behold this time. Amen? So we're going to go there. We're going to go fast. You know, I'm one of those prophets. I'm built for speed. We're going to go quickly. So get awake. If you're not awake, now is your wake-up call to become awake. Amen? But we have some business to take care of first. If you're a part of the Unedited Life family, if you're a part of the Unedited Life family, I want you to stand to your feet. Is there any Unedited Life family down below? You need to come up. This is important. There's Christy. Is Mike up here? Okay. If you're a part of the Unedited Life family, you need to stand up. Yeah. Yeah, we need all hands on deck because it's taken all hands on deck for this conference, for this time to happen. And, you know, I just want to say the spirit of excellence rules and reigns in this place. The spirit of excellence is felt and is sensed. The time of prayer and planning that has been put into this time, because I know what it's like to put the Sam shopping list together and try and figure out, are we trying to feed 15 or 25? I know what it's like to be Christy, who I saw ran to Cracker Barrel to get the coleslaw yesterday to make sure we've got what we need to go with pulled pork. I'm that person. I'm thinking like that. And I just want to say, with such fullness of heart, thank you. Thank you for the ministry that you have looked to extend before one of us showed up, before one of us gathered here. Where you have sown, I believe you will reap, and reap very soon. And like was said of Isaac, will be said of this house. He sowed in the same season that he reaped. And I'm calling that forth over this house. So if you're not a part of the Unedited Life family, raise your hands and keep them in the air. Keep them in the air. That's you, Annabelle. You're part of this family. So if you're not a part of the Unedited Life family, find someone who has their hand in the air, and we're going to take about 45 seconds, a minute. You go bless them, pray over them, speak life over them. They have sown in us, and now we're going to declare harvest on the seed that they've sown. Amen? Quickly, quickly, quickly. Keep your hand in the air so they know who to go to. Go find someone. Yes, Father God, we just speak blessing over this house. We speak increase over this house. I speak increase over Virginia. Lord, I thank you that this is a part of her extended family. And I thank you, Lord, that there is increase. Where she has sown, she will reap. And we call in the harvest quickly, quickly, quickly. Lord, we thank you that they saw an opportunity to sow, and they've sown, and we've been the beneficiaries of it. And now we call it back into their own barns and their own accounts in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father God, for the faithfulness of this house. Thank you, Lord God, for the faithfulness of this house. Thank you, Lord, that they have seen a need and they have looked to fill the need. We thank you for the faithfulness of this house in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father God, that there has been a time to put your hand to the plow, and Christy has put her hand to the plow. And I thank you, Father God, that her eye will not be able to reach the end of the field for the harvest for her family. Her personal family is coming in for Mike and Christy. I declare this is the season of your harvest. 2024, 2025, 2026, it's your harvest time. All right, Praise God. Find your seats. Migrate back to... Okay. Amen. Amen. Well, I can feel perspiration going down the back of my neck already. That's always a really good sign. It's always a really good sign. Amen. I can't wear contacts at the moment. And me and these glasses are not quite in agreement of where they need to go and where I feel I need to go. This is the summer of the bursting through. This is the summer of the bursting through. July is absolutely so significant. So that Angie and John and their team chose for July to be when Behold would be hosted. I don't think that was by accident at all. I'm sure if I heard the story of why these particular dates in July were chosen, there's good reason for it. But I believe that where you've traveled from, whether it be Wales, whether it be England, whether it be Canada, or maybe just up the road, Virginia, it doesn't matter how far you came, this is significant what has already been deposited. So what Mark sowed, what Rebecca sowed, what Angie sowed, we're building, we're building, we're building. And when we go for the juggler of what God's given me, you would have thought that Mark, Rebecca, and I said, let's do a Zoom at the end of June and let's all get on the same page. Well, we haven't. And you're going to see there is a theme that God has looked to build this whole time. So, Father God, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you that anyone who's on autopilot takes it off of autopilot right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for the receptivity that is stirring on the inside of each person to be able to receive the portion that the Holy Spirit has for you today. Lord, we don't look to just coast out. We look to go out in the fire of God to be able to take what has been deposited, to occupy, to build, and to go through this process of the bursting through. This is what this summer is about. 2024 is so significant in what we're going into, but you've got to be able to burst through. But where we need to make a mindset change is why we are bursting through and why your breakthrough is significant. Your breakthrough is not so much about you. Your breakthrough is massively about kingdom. And in the Western church, we are so focused, and Rebecca touched on this a good bit last night, we're so focused on our breakthrough being about my life being easier, me and my four and no more, seeing some relief and reprieve, and this is not a kingdom mindset. A kingdom mindset is that I am much more concerned about John and Angie and their kids than I am about the children and even in my own family. This is about preference to one another. This is about kingdom. This is about when the world sees us, they say there is something completely different about them. That we have to detach our connection to a lower kingdom. There's only two kingdoms. There's only two kingdoms, and you are either fully in one or you are in a place of having one foot in one kingdom and another foot in another kingdom. You have now disqualified yourself from the only true kingdom. So this is a place of great humility, which Rebecca touched on last night. This is a place of going low before the Lord God. This is a place of every single person in this room, including myself, realizing God is going for the juggler of pride. This is God saying, you have been jealous of one another. You have operated in greed. You have not been willing to prefer one another. And therefore, you are at a stunted, stuck place, unable to move through into the bursting through, into the breakthrough. So the bursting through and the breakthrough is not being held back from us. It's because God's wanting to deal with what is allowing us to stay in this place that we look like anything but kingdom. We don't look like kingdom. Let's go to 1 Chronicles 14. You've got the device or old school, how I grew up. You've got your Bible. We're in 1 Chronicles chapter 14, starting with verse 8. Are we there? 1 Chronicles 14, verse 8. When the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over Israel, they mobilized all their forces to capture him. But David was told they were coming, so he marched out to meet them. The Philistines arrived and made a raid in the valley of Rephaim. So David asked God, there's a question here. You should be asking questions. Not all of your questions are going to be answered in prophetic activation. See what Rebecca led us in last night, that should be ongoing in this place of going for the jugular of pride. It was a start point. It wasn't necessarily an end point, because I believe that pride and jealousy and greed are that rampant in our lives, in our thinking. So David asked questions. Verse 10, so David asked God, should I go out and fight the Philistines? Will you hand them over to me? The Lord replied, yes, go ahead. I will hand them over to you. So David and his troops went up to Baal Perazim and defeated the Philistines there. God did it, David exclaimed. He used me to burst through my enemies like a raging flood. So they named that place Baal Perazim, which means the Lord who burst through. The Philistines had abandoned their gods there, so David gave orders to burn them. Fire is really important this weekend. I won't be leaving this house until there's some fire on some things that need to be burned. Every single one of us. This is the word of the Lord. For behold, that God gave me. It is time, summer 2024. It is a bursting out in breakthrough in what has seemed you in. Bursting through what has looked to keep you small and limited. It is a time to hear the voice of the Lord in his timing, that you would burst out in expansive, open places of walking in liberty. Yes, it is liberty to rise up, burst out, and this is what you have looked for. Yes, it is liberty to be heard, to be seen, to occupy. The Lord says this is a bursting out into kingdom, a kingdom takeover in your life. This time, this summer, is more than just about your breakthrough. This is walking in true kingdom designed in the posture of ruling and reigning in his love, where you have felt ruled and reigned over in limitation. This is the time of bursting through in expansive victory, says the Lord God. You have dreamed far too small. You have asked me for far too little. I am and I will. Will you burst out, says the Lord God. And then he rooted that and anchored that in Matthew 11, 12. This is from the Amplified. And from the days of John the Baptist until the present time, the kingdom of heaven has endured violent assault, and violent men seize it by force as a precious prize. A share in heavenly kingdom is sought with most ardent zeal and intense exertion. Ardent zeal and intense exertion. And that is what Mark gave me, a passage of scripture in Isaiah 45, 2 through 4. And he would, it just motivated me, stirred me in the place of go for it. Now go for it in ardent zeal. Go for that thing. You came here for a reason. You knew you had a stirring. And this is God saying, it is the time of the bursting out. It is the time of the bursting through. But there's a mindset shift that he's looking to do, because it's not for you. Your breakout, your breakthrough, it's not for you. It's for kingdom. And so because you have thought and I have thought, if this shifted, if this broke through, it would be so much easier. If this person would just come into alignment, or that person would just come into alignment, if this would just happen, then everything would come and be easy. And God is saying it is a wrong mindset. Therefore, you have not tasted breakthrough. Therefore, you have not seen your Baal Perazim. You have not understood that this is a process. And David engaged in the process. Amen. David engaged in the process. Let's engage in the process today. Let's say, God, what is the process of the bursting through? Revelation 19:10, everyone knows it. We're prophetic people. We're prophets in this house, and then we're prophetically sharp. Everybody knows Revelation 19:10. Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So Rebecca touched on that last night. I just wanted to say to Rebecca and Mark, could you just kind of like go a different trajectory? Because it looks like you're preaching out of my notes. She's right. He is the lead prophet. He is the one that we're looking for. He is the spirit of prophecy. Revelation 19:10 says, "And I, John, fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, 'See that you do not do that.'" He's talking to the angel here. "I am your fellow servant and your brethren who also has the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." We're going somewhere here. Don't check out. Stay with me here. The angel reminds John here that the point of revelation is the testimony of Jesus. The point of your breakthrough is the testimony of Jesus. The point of your Baal Perazim, the point of an edited life coming into a place of understanding we are in Judea, but we have a heart for Samaria, and we look to go to the outermost parts of the earth. It's not an either or, and I speak that out as a word of prophecy over you. You still have a responsibility in this region. It's Judea, Samaria, and the outermost parts. It's not we'll do this, but we won't do this. No, you're mature enough, and God says, "This house I trust for all of it." Amen? There's more on that. We'll go there later. So John is having this exchange with the angel, and the angel gives out, as we would say in Ireland, he gives out to John saying, "See that you do not do that." The point of a testimony is to reveal Jesus Christ. The point of revelation is the testimony of Jesus Christ, not the worship of angels or spiritual experiences. John's extended prophecy serves to illuminate the kingdom of God and the work of Jesus Christ. It's all got to point to Jesus. It's all got to go there. Everything that you and I are looking to do in our testimonies, in going into the realms, in our prayer life, it's all got to point back to Jesus. If it does not, you're off course. You're outside of what the kingdom have said, "This is my kingdom." The point of a testimony is to reveal Jesus Christ. In a similar fashion, the point of prophecy is to bring light or to make known the will of God. Now, I'm talking to prophets, and you may think, well, this is prophecy 101, but you need this because we are off course as prophets. We've forgotten what the point of prophecy is. It's to reveal who Jesus Christ is in a personal life, in a region, in a city. It is not to see that a political agenda gets across the line. No, that's a lower kingdom. And if that's got your focus, you're participating in the lower kingdom. Prophecy is to make light, to make known the will of God in our experience and ultimately in our testimony. This is why the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Let's say it this way. The point of all prophecy, past, present, and future, is to make the heart of Jesus Christ known in and throughout our lives, families, cities, and nations. That's it. What do you mean? Is that it? That's it. And we've made it super complicated, and we've made it super cliquish, and we've made it, Peter's always given out to me, and he's like, "You're going to have to use some different language there, Laura Beth. You've been around the prophets, and now you're using language, it won't land with people. Change your language, Laura Beth." The point of all prophecy is so that it lands to be able to shift people, shift churches, shift regions, That's what happens when you hang out with an apostolic teacher. They'll make sure that you are using language to accomplish that which God has called you to accomplish. If not, that's why fivefold is important. That's why we need the apostles. We need the pastors. We need the teachers. We need the evangelists. We need the prophets. But it's all fivefold. Working together for what? The maturing of the body. So you take one out, like in Ireland, we have loads of very heavily led one-fold and two-fold churches. We have a lot of pastor-led churches, and that's it. We don't have many apostles on the land. Really, only I work with two. And so you see what happens in the church. There's fractures, there's fraying, there's odd things that come about because God has said, this is how I want my church built. Ephesians 2:20. With the apostles and the prophets, with Jesus Christ, the cornerstone. So one of my good friend prophets, Mark and I serve on British Isle Council of Prophets, and one of my really good friends that I love having conversation with is Chris Larkin. You might have seen her on some different broadcasts that we do, but she always says it like this: Lorbeth, are you looking for apostolic purpose? Are you looking for the purpose of the apostolic? If you can't find an apostle in where you're working, then work with people who have apostolic purpose. And she said, God will come in and he will allow the encompassing of what needs to be if it's rooted in apostolic purpose. I've been doing this a long time. This is my 27th year of full-time ministry. I started off in Honduras. Then I went to Guatemala, was in and out of El Salvador. And I've worked in dumps where the whole city was a dump, and you would have to put perfume on your wrist to be able to smell your wrist at times because of the stench of the dump of where people are making their entire life. Those 7 years in Central America were essential in what God was carving me out as his son. See, I'm much more interested in being carved out as a son than I am a prophet. Yeah. I am a prophet, and I walk that out. But firstly and namely, I'm a son. And sons across the board have been called to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. So when I hear people call themselves prophets of the nations, I'm just like going, I'm just a son who's gone and willing to go. And not only do I go, but I make sure that others that are going into nations I'm not going into, Asia, that I'm sowing into those nations. So though, like my story is, I live completely by faith. There is no salary. But I've never stopped sowing into nations. And I myself was sowing and going. That's how much I believe that when Jesus said go, it was not a big suggestion, that we're all called to go. So this is a time that we're coming into a greater maturity with one another, that in Ireland and in England, and when I'm in Scotland, and when I come into America, and when I go into these churches, I'm no longer willing to give milk. I'm saying this is a now time. What I believe by the Spirit is that there has never prophetically been such a prolific time upon the earth since Jesus came. That's not to say that massive moves of God have not happened in other epochs of time. They have. But I believe the hour in which you and I live, it has never been what it is today, that we are beginning to step into. When Jesus was on the earth, he fulfilled 48 messianic prophecies. Mathematician Peter Stoner said, the probability of one man fulfilling 48 messianic prophecies, that's 1 in 10 with 157 zeros to follow. That's how improbable it is. But this is Jesus that we're talking about. Not only did he fulfill those 48 messianic prophecies, he went on to fulfill 324 additional prophecies. So it was unfathomable what prophetically was happening on the land in a time that shifted everything that you and I are in this time. And I believe that's why prophecy has to be spot on. That's why I believe you and I have to deal with pride. We have to deal with jealousy. We have to deal with ridiculous fractions that are happening. And it is a time to come into the place that my story isn't actually all that important. What's really important to me is kingdom. It's kingdom. It's laying down my preferences. Because I'll tell you, in 27 years, there's been a few times that there wasn't a way, or other than if Jesus came through, that was the only thing. I know what it's like to have automatic weapons held at you. I know what it's like to have your life on the line. I know what it's like that me and Jesus are the only two that know what it's taken to take that next step, to get across that border crossing. And yet, in this time, I look back and he says, it was all for now. Everything, your story. So if you're still stuck in your story, I'm not saying it was a story, but I've got a story too. I'm just not interested in it. I'm interested in where we're going. I'm not really interested in my story. I've done the stuff to be healed, to not operate in a place of wounding. I got to Ireland 18 years ago, and the pastor that I still work with today, he says, this I ask of you, Laura Beth. Ireland welcomes you, and we receive you. Just make sure that you never minister, prophesy out of a place of wounding. And I can stand before the Lord Jesus and say, there have been some real difficult times in walking that out, but I have not operated in a place of wounding. I've operated in the love of Jesus. And whatever that required, and that's been driving 3 or 4 hours on not great roads to get to a meeting and sitting in my car and weeping and then saying, Jesus, let's go do this. Holy Spirit, you lead me. And you know what happens when you're willing to allow yourself to be humbled like that? I'm not the standard. Jesus is the standard. But it breaks you out of a place of selfishness that my breakthrough and my story is the most important thing. And you go in and you do what the Lord Jesus asks you to do. And I realize that there's a lot of people in leadership here, and there's a lot of people that you aren't in ministry. But you can take this outside of the ministerial context. Your business, your family, you have to get to this place that when you walk into your job, it really matters because you're part of the solution that God is looking to use you as an agent of change to bring freedom to people who never have any interest in walking in these four walls. It's really important that you understand I can't afford to stay in a place of pride and offense. That your bitterness, as much as you think you're hiding it, you're not. It's all over you. Especially in a place like this. Nice try, but it didn't work. Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. We're in a time. We're not going into a time. We're already in a time that prophecy being fulfilled at an unprecedented rate is going to only increase. So the accuracy and the purity and the willingness to be consecrated is essential. Because what is that? Why are we going to see and experiencing more prophecy being fulfilled than ever before? Because I'm not trying to name the day or the hour of Jesus' return, but just like a woman goes into labor, you know, Chrissy's getting ready to have her second baby. I think that's public knowledge. If not, it is now. So with the baby she had 20 months ago, at work, week 38, week 40, she's like, it's time, Mike. We got to go. It's time. My body is contracting. We're beginning to see the signs. This baby is coming. But she's on week 8 right now. So she's not saying, Mike, we better go to the hospital. It's time to go. She's not trying to say, listen, there's alert here. I'm going to have a baby. She is. In February, but not right now. So I'm not trying to name the day or the hour of when Christ's return is, but what I am saying is we are in the times and seasons of understanding prophetically we've never been closer. And so in this time, it's really important that my story not be about me, but my story be about kingdom. The body of Christ is being called into a time. Each one of you, this is big. So I'm responsible for my story and you're responsible for your story. But now is a pivotal time. And God is saying that when we come in, when we prophesy, when we give that word of knowledge, when we do this, it's always got to be from this place of looking for the kingdom to be revealed. So a week before I left, I arrived in the States on July the 1st. And a week before I left, God took me into a pretty extensive prophetic dream. And as soon as I woke up, I knew it was significant. And I knew that it was a word for this time. And I knew I would release it at Behold. And, you know, as a prophet, I'm here to help you enter into your Baal Perazim, into your bursting through. That's what it means, the bursting through. So I believe this is a bursting through summer for Unedited Life. I believe it's a bursting through. I believe it's a bursting through for your personal families. I believe it's a bursting through for your families. Because Jesus is really into families. And this is a time that you all really nurture and steward family well. And I believe that this is the time that we're going to see some breakthroughs with family that we haven't seen. But I believe this is a summer for Unedited Life to burst through in some areas that have been long held, doors that have just remained closed. I believe autumn is going to be a super exciting time for you, but you're going to need to steward some things as we go through. As the temperatures rise up, so does the ask of what you must steward. So I wasn't surprised when we hit 101 yesterday. That didn't surprise me. That encouraged me. In fact, I walked out last night and I thought, it feels good out here. Yeah, you come spend a week in Ireland to come back to this and it actually will feel good to you. It is the summer, but that's not just for Unedited Life. I feel like God's brought me here as a prophet to release this about what he showed me in this dream. And I wrote it down. Jesus took me into this really expansive place of fertile grass, and it was nutrient-dense grass in the middle of a massive pasture. Now, I'm from Osage County, Oklahoma. Osage County is the second largest county in America land-wise. It's over 1 million acres. It's a massive county. We have massive ranches there. And in the dream, he took me into this massive pasture, and the pasture was, you know, flat, good for grazing, but it was surrounded by small hills. And those were all as if they were the backdrop for this massive pasture. And then as I looked at the grass, it was nutrient dense. I know growing up in ranchland, this was good grass to graze horses, to take cattle on. I knew it was a good pasture. And yet in the middle of that pasture was this massive corral. In the dream that God gave me, in this massive corral, there was a right pen and there was a left pen. And as soon as I recognized the pen, I'm standing back. I'm looking at the foothills surrounding this pasture. I'm taking note of what the ground I perceive. This is nutrient dense grass. This is good for raising horses and cattle. And then I look up, I see the massive corral, but it's divided into a right pen and a left pen. And right in the center of that divider is a massive white stallion. And as soon as I lock eyes with that massive white stallion, I know I've locked eyes with Jesus. And yet I hesitated because this horse was marked. It was a white stallion, but this horse was marked. And I asked him, "Why are you marked? Why do you have markings on you?" And he said, "I still am. I'm still marked." Let that sink in a minute. He's still marked. And as I had that moment with Jesus, I knew it was time to do business. And up behind me began to come all of these horses. And with his majestic head and mane, he would direct me where to put the horses. So he would either direct a horse to go into the right pen, or he would direct a horse to go into the left pen. I didn't look at any of the horses. All I did was stay focused and fixed on Jesus. And as I was directing these horses, I noticed some of them are moving too slow. So I would hit them on their hindquarters to get them to go into the pen. Some of you need to be hit on your hindquarter to get going. Mark and I get to minister a good bit together. I don't use the terminology bad cop, good cop, but I do use the terminology nice prophet, mean prophet. Who do you think Mark is? He will roll around on the carpet with you. He will do as he's done with several of you. You're doing great. Keep at it. That's Mark. Laura Beth is, come on, speed up. You're not going to get your breakthrough if you don't let go of some stuff. You've got some pride and some jealousy and some greed, and this is imperative that this be cut off. We've got a job to do, and it is advancing the kingdom that you and I are part of the generation that will do greater works than even he did. This is the time that the dead will rise again, that the blind will see. This is the time that we don't talk about a miracle that happened 30 days ago. We say when we gather, miracles happen. It is a release of dunamis power. This is this time. This is that, as I prophesied to Virginia yesterday. This is that in Acts chapter 2 when Peter stands up and he was like, this is that. When Jesus says, this is Joel 2. This is the time of your young men to prophesy, of your old men to see visions. This is that time. So speed up. Get rid of that pride. Get rid of that jealousy. Receive this in the love that I give it, that this is a time unlike any other on the earth. This is highly prolific prophecy going forth to see the advancement of kingdom like we've never seen before. I don't want to miss it. There isn't. Ireland is home, and God has said he will give me Ireland. I've asked for it for a long time, and he will give it to me. But Ireland isn't enough. Now I'm looking at Europe. I'm looking at Poland. I'm looking at Germany. I go to Denmark at the end of the month. I'm looking. I'm saying, where next, God? Where are you sending me next? Ireland will remain home, and we will see Ireland shift into its fullness. Revival's happening on the European continent. They can't build churches fast enough in Poland at the moment. Germany youth are moving into unbelievable revivals that are taking place. Europe is in revival. It's going to continue to increase, and we will see it. We will see Europe come into alignment with what God has. Now is the time to be advancing. If I'm not going, I'm going to make a way to be able to make sure somebody else gets there. And we're going, and it's not going to be a European thing. We're hearing all kinds of testimonies of what's taking place in Asia. That's why I get really excited about partnering with Tanya in Uganda. When they do a clothes drive or they do something like that, I'm like, it's not enough to go into one country. How many countries can we be a part of? Which is part of the new vision of, or maybe it always was the vision of Unedited Life. But this is a time that we should be saying, what can I do for you, Mark? What can I do? How can I rearrange my schedule to make sure Speakers of Life is richer? Because we come together not to promote me or promote you, but because we're willing to say, I will collaborate with you, I will work with you. So that's why the Irish team came. They paid their own way. They took off work from. They took off time from work. Because they're like, Lord Beth, we go there to back you up. But we go there to sow into America because we believe that what we will see, be a part of, we're bringing back to Ireland. We're bringing back to the island. So that's why when Tanya gets in touch with me in Ohio, Oklahoma to Ohio is a 14-hour drive. 14 hours? With Cracker Barrel stops, it is. It's a 12 to 14-hour drive. Who does that? Pays their own way and then takes you to dinner. Someone who understands, she shows up and she said, look, I've seen the schedule. It's tight. Where do you need me and what do you need me to do? And literally, I could ask her anything and she's like, I'm there. I'm doing it. But she knows I'm willing to do the same in Argentina, where she also has a work that's emerging. She knows that she can pick up the phone anytime. I've got some things to run past you, Lord Beth. I'm here. Let's pray into this and see what God is saying. And so it comes into this place that it's not just ministerially that Christy and Mike have massively poured out, as has the whole team. That there's a phone call that Christy and Mike get this week. Hey, can I take the two middle kids for just a couple of days? A couple of hours. I'm going to take them for ice cream and just go play in the park when it's not 101 outside. It's thinking outside of my needs. What can I do? What can I do for somebody else? What could I do for Robin? And it's beginning. You think differently when you walk in humility. You think about things that will bless people. I'm constantly going, what could I do that would make that person, that will encourage them? And it's coming into the places, it's not about me. This is about kingdom. So in the dream, God began to direct these horses to go into the right pen or to go into the left pen. Predominantly, all the horses were being sent into the right pen. There were a few being sent into the left pen. Only a handful went into the left pen. Once all the horses were in the designated pens, I asked Jesus, why are there two pens? He said, these horses in the right pen are being prepared for breakthrough. I will break them out of this pen soon, but that is up to them. How long it will require in my ask of what is needed to let go of in the right pen. Breakthrough is already theirs, but they must be prepared now, or these horses won't know what it means to go beyond receiving breakthrough into the capacity of stewarding breakthrough. See, we're so focused on the breakthrough, and we don't give any time to the preparedness of what it means to steward breakthrough. So that's why the horses are in the right pen. And he said this, I kept hearing him say this, their hearts are right. Their hearts are right. Their hearts are right. And then I heard Jesus say this, their thoughts are not right. Their thoughts must align with my thoughts. And then I looked at the handful of horses in the left pen. They appeared weak and lifeless. I asked, what about these horses? Jesus said, they refuse to change. They have partnered with religion. I have not rejected them, said Jesus. I will not. But they are not positioned for breakthrough. They have become hard-hearted, said Jesus. I looked again at the right pen, and I asked Jesus, what is the preparation? What must they do, those horses in the right pen, where predominantly all the horses were? Jesus said, their breakthrough, their bursting out, is outside the pen and near, very near. But first they must recognize and let go of pride, jealousy, and greed. And this is what he said. Pride brings spiritual blindness. Jealousy chokes prophetic promise. And greed brings lameness in apostolic building. Pride brings spiritual blindness. Jealousy chokes prophetic promises. And greed brings lameness in apostolic building. Blind, choking, lame horses will not be able to steward kingdom breakthrough. I heard the Spirit of God say, I am preparing them, and they will be prepared. But their thoughts are not my thoughts, not yet. I have brought them to this place to change mindsets. They will think what I think, says the Lord. They will do what I ask, says the Lord God. Watch, he said. And soon I saw the horses bursting through and running liberally, an unstoppable force. The horses ran for breakthrough. The horses did not run for breakthrough, but I perceived that they had received breakthrough. These horses ran for kingdom. Breakthrough was not their goal. Kingdom was their goal. And I perceived that they had received their bursting out, their breakthrough, but that is not what this unstoppable, I mean majestic herd of horses running in unison, the sound of it. Your breakthrough is for the kingdom of God. Your testimony is for the glory of God. This is the hour of kingdom breakthrough. This is the deposit. Everything that we've received, behold, this is an edification. And that word edification in the Greek means a building up correctly, brick upon brick upon brick, that you would come out of this time understanding. If there was one theme that we went through, have gone for, it is that pride must be eradicated out of our lives. Pride brings spiritual blindness. Greed brings this lameness to apostolic building. Jealousy chokes it, the prophetic promise. And God would allow us to come together as a gathering of prophetic people in a prophetic house, and with some of us operating in apostolic purpose, to come together and say, and I really sense this. Even this morning, I was asking Holy Spirit again, because I think that when we think about pride and jealousy and greed, we opt out. We allow ourselves to abdicate out of any one of those. And I felt God was saying, you need to think broad spectrum, and this needs to be an ongoing conversation with you and Holy Spirit. It starts here. It doesn't stop here. And I hope that you're uncomfortable. I'm uncomfortable with it, because I know he only gave it to me first, meaning he holds me accountable to it. But I hope it's making you uncomfortable, that it's not for one, but it is for all. Pride, jealousy, and greed must be dealt with. I felt like that God was saying some will just focus on money and think that that's where, you know, they'll opt out and say, no, but I am a generous giver. I felt like people were greedy with their time. They were greedy with their gifts. They were greedy with what God has given them. I felt that there was a jealousy rampantly, a rampant jealousy that God was saying, it is choking them and they do not realize it. So I felt like the ongoing conversation, dialogue with the Holy Spirit was to, in that place, sitting on a rock by the edge of the lake, on a country road with your Suburban pulled over, wherever your spot is, to go and say, honestly, nakedly before the Holy Spirit, where is the jealousy? And you start going through some scenarios. Holy Spirit will show you. He showed me an area that as soon as he showed it to me, I was triggered. I heard myself going, no, no, no. And he was like going, listen to yourself. Get past yourself, Lord Beth. Do you want freedom in this area or not? And I do. And so I'm willing. I'm willing to whatever that takes to go low. And I want to provoke you and encourage you and admonish you. Don't leave. Don't drive up the road, Virginia. Don't get on a plane, Bernie. Don't drive back to Canada with the same things that we all carried here, knowingly or unknowingly. let's do that business now. Because I felt like what God was saying, I just happened to see on Another Life's website, my favorite script, I love Job 39:19. I saw that you recently shared that, but it's such a massive scripture in why we must be the prophets that are in purity because we're being called into a time. We lead the way. We go out first. Here, the horse in Job 39:19 is referring to the prophet. And this is that passage of scripture. I read it often. Have you given the horse its might? Have you clothed its neck with quivering and shaking mane? Have you made him leap like a locust? The majesty of his snorting nostrils is terrible. He paws in the valley and rejoices in his strength. He goes out to meet the weapons of armed men. These are the prophets that God is calling forth, that there is this place of walking in such purity that you and I are rising up and to say, I am a prophet of war and I go out to war for kingdom. It is a Matthew 11:12 piece that this is a kingdom that we serve, that violence is looked to take it out and violent men look to rise up. I am a violent prophet. You are violent and I'm calling your violence forth in the name of the Lord God to not tolerate the pride, the jealousy, and the greed. Amen. He paws the valley and rejoices in his strength. He goes out to meet the weapons of armed men. He laughs at fear and is not dismayed. And in battle, he does not turn back from the sword. The quiver rattles against him, as do the flashing spear and the lance of his rider. With fierceness and rage, he races to devour the ground, and he does not stand still. I am not standing still, and I am calling you, do not stand still in this time. This is a time for movement. This is a time to occupy. This is a time to come together. As what Rebecca highlighted, you know, I don't look to stand with this, be seated at this table or with this company. No, I'm all up for kingdom. Whoever's going in kingdom, whoever's not walking in a fence, whoever's not, that's where I'm looking to advance. I'm actually not interested in those stories. I'm not actually interested in because I don't run it past someone. Do you think it's okay to minister to this person? Let me give you something really helpful. This isn't in the notes. And I wish somebody would have given it to me 20 years ago. Would have been so, so helpful. But this isn't just if you're in ministry. This is also in you walking out your life, Grace, as journeying with Jesus. This has been a game changer. I'm a part of this this group. You know, Malachi 3:16 says that the leaders, the prophets, they gather together and they tease things out. And so I'm a part of this group that we do that once a month. Mark's a part of that group. And we tease things out. And there's business people on there. It's a really interesting group because you've got apostles and prophets on it. You've got pastors. It's been really healthy for me to be in that type of an environment because it's not just all prophets, which gets a good bit weird really fast. Yeah, I mean, Mark is a massive seer, you know, and I'm nabby. And so we don't think alike. So Mark gave me this idea of something he wanted to do it was a small thing, and it wasn't weird. He was just being very seer-like in his idea of how much time we were going to have to sign his Go Dream book. And I just very lovingly and politely had to say, Mark, that's not going to happen. In your seer world, we've got yonks of time, but in a navvy world, no, we're moving. Come on, we're going. We've got a bus to catch. We've got a train to board. We've got to get going. And so Mark's like, okay, we can do that. No problem. And so what happens is you've got the mean prophet and the love prophet working together, advancing, covering ground. Come on, let's see where we can shift a region. Let's see where we can bring deliverance. Come on, you've got that. I've got this. I've got this team. You pull in your team. And who gets the credit? Speakers of Life, Calvary World Missions, Mark Birch Machen, Laura Beth Malloy, Ireland, England. No, all we can say is it's kingdom. It's kingdom advancement. Kingdom is advancing. Nobody's looking to brand themselves. Nobody's looking to advance. We're just doing kingdom, 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 kingdom. And so God is saying, who will think like that? So let me give you the bonus portion that's not in my notes. My team could actually get up and give you this because we have taken on, we've taken this on board. So it's actually an apostle out of Scotland who gave it to me because I was getting hung up on some things and just felt this tangling. And I was like, no, no, I don't want this. How do I work with it? The first prophecy that Rebecca King ever spoke over me, you know, sometimes as a prophet, I get, there could be a word I released over somebody in a really small village, bog village in Ireland 10 years ago. And if I see their face, that word comes up like that. And then there can be words that I gave last week that somebody can come up and say, do you remember when you gave me that word? And I'm like going, clueless, don't have it. It's just how maybe other prophets work like that. But Rebecca prophesied. She barely knew me. I barely knew her. I think it was about close to 4-ish years ago. And the word that she gave me on a Zoom call, we were just getting to know each other, building relationally. She said, Laura Beth, you're a fine-tooth comb. You're sent into complicated situations. You go into areas and relationships and ministries and people that are knotted up and need to be untangled. You're a fine-tooth comb. She was spot on. I'm always sent into those situations. See, I want to be, in my heart, I want to be a makeup blush brush that's really soft and fluffy. And everybody likes it when the blush brush is so gently touching their face. But oh no, I am the fine-tooth comb. And I have seen that, I've seen that word play out in my life again and again. That I go in where things are knotted up, but God has great love to see something released in the area of freedom. So I'm your fine-tooth comb this morning. And I come to you to say, you've got pride, jealousy, and there is a measure of greed there that God wants to deal with because he's getting ready to take you into your Baal Perazim. You're in the right pen. He's got you in the right pen. You can be there 3 days, 30 days, 3 years, or until we see the face of Jesus. I want to be there 3 days. I do want to get it. I do understand I want to get it. Today, I don't know that we finished Job 39, but let's end with verse 25. As often as the trumpet sounds, he says, aha! And he smells the battle from afar. And senses the thunder of the captains and the war cry. I love thunderstorms. I love lightning. And in Osage County, we have absolute big displays of thunder and lightning. And we never get it in Ireland. Rarely. I could count, in 18 years, I could count on one hand how many times I felt thunder or seen lightning. We just don't get it. And, you know, like, I grew up in Oklahoma, Kansas, you know, I mean, we have great displays of thunder and lightning. Last night, I woke up, and I was like, it's thundering. It was as if God said, go, get up now. There's thunder. I got up. I went out. I'm in my pajamas. I go to, we were in an Airbnb. I go to the front door. I open the door and I watch. I listen for the thunder and I watch the lightning. And I was in my happy place because I heard the thunder and I was up and ready. I was in a massive sleep, having massive dreams, but the thunder, it called and I went. This is the trumpet call. Today is a trumpet call for your Baal Perazim. Today is your day to ask Holy Spirit, show you where the mindset is not lining up with Christ's thoughts. Come low before the Lord Jesus. Where is their pride? Where are you in jealousy? Ask him. And this needs to be an ongoing chat. This needs to be an ongoing dialogue. Since he's given it to me, I have not stopped. I keep getting situations, people, or places where he's saying greed, jealousy, pride. Greed, jealousy, pride. If you're willing to have the conversation, and I am, and many of you are, because you recognize the hour in which we live. What a privilege to be here on the earth in this epoch, in this season of time, to be taking breath, to see the unprecedented move of God upon the earth. That's not to say there hasn't been moves of God, but this time, we're going to step into the fullness of the Baal parasite, the bursting through to see kingdom advanced. I'm going to close out. There's some ministry I know to have that I want to see go forth. I want you to remember, pride brings spiritual blindness, jealousy chokes prophetic promise, and greed brings lameness in apostolic building. So, what is our anchor scripture in what we will learn? Zane, you're not leaving for good, are you? Because I've got something. So come back. So I asked God, well, what are we supposed to learn and live out in the process of what David did? David asked, will I have victory? God answered him and said, you will. God gave him strategy and said, this is how you do it. David did the strategy. David had his bursting through. So this is what I'm giving to you. Are you willing to say, God, is this still my prophetic promise? Because all prophecy is conditional. Prophecy is what God has said. It's not my good or acceptable will. This is the perfect will of what I've said over this nation, over this region, over this person. This is it. But just as salvation was conditional, Jesus did his part, and you and I had to do our part. We had to recognize, yes, all have sinned, but it's my sin that I take before you, Lord Jesus. I understand that you are the ransom that was paid. Will, and you entered into what it means. There was a condition to salvation. There is a condition to all prophecy. So if you're saying, I have held on to this word for 5 years, I haven't seen it come to pass, what is the story? Have you met the conditions? Have you walked it out? What are your anchor scriptures? How have you looked to steward it? How have you looked to have accountability in what was said? Who are you willing to walk in humility with to say, I think there's a, you know, I've been hook-wired by something because I haven't seen my prophetic promise come forth in this area. And I had this chat with somebody. They were holding God accountable. This was just recently in Oklahoma. I said, God is not the problem. You're the problem. God's holding up his end of the deal. It's not God, it's you. They didn't like hearing that. I do love them, and they know that I love them. But your prophetic breakthrough in that it has not come to pass, it's not God, it's you, it's me. I'm the one that has held it up. So David asked, will you give me the victory? God said, I will give you the victory. God then gives him a strategy. David's obedient to the strategy. He doesn't have an argument with God. But do you know what so-and-so will think if you ask me to do that? Do you know what so-and-so will think if we don't hold our service at this time and do that? Do you know... David was obedient to the strategy. So are you open as a prophet, as a prophetic person, to the unorthodox strategies that God is giving to allow you to learn what it means to break your ties and partnership, your tolerance of pride, jealousy, and greed, so that you might come into a place and be a life inside the right pen? I ask him, what are we supposed to be doing in the right pen? In this place of, okay, I understand what the work is, dealing with pride, jealousy, and greed, but how do we live with each other? How do the horses, what's that picture like? And he said, go to Galatians 2, 22, 23, amplified. But the fruit of the Spirit, the result of his presence within us, is love, unselfish concern for others, joy, inner peace, patience, not the ability to wait. Listen to this. Patience, not the ability to wait, but how we act while waiting. Kindness. kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. We've got to get in the right pen, deal with the pride, the jealousy, and the greed, and then we've got to start looking how we love one another, how we walk in patience. I had to repent to my team this morning. I had a fail in Oklahoma where I got super impatient with my team. I had to sit them down and say, I messed up. There's no excuse. Had a bunch of pressure on me that you wouldn't know about, that I was trying not to tell you about because I wanted to get it sorted. So I'm in pride because I think I can do it all on my own. And so this is what it means to do life with family. That you come in and you say what needs to be said and say, okay, now let's move on. Let's keep going. But I'll tell you what a religious horse will do. A religious horse will keep reminding you. A religious horse is a Pharisee, and they'll die in that second. They'll not a death as far as physical death, but what God has truly called them to do. They'll stay in that left pen. He said he hadn't rejected them. He said he wouldn't, but they had partnered with religion. They'd partnered with religion in their mindset, and they weren't able to enter into the bursting through. Yeah, if you're a part of the Unedited Life family, will you just stand to your feet quickly? So this is what God's showing me. He's showing me this circling that the family's being brought into, that you're in an unbroken circle. And there's a massive fire in the center of this circle. And I see the tightness of your circle tightening up. I see you getting really, really close in each other's space, like uncomfortably so. Like I can smell you kind of tightness, you know? And I see the circle getting tight, tight. And then I see the Lord God putting in each one of your hands a massive ignition. It just looks like a massive match, like a wooden match. But there's a cotton linen that's on the very end of it, and it is soaked in fuel, but it has not been lit yet. But there's a fire there, and I just hear a release. I see Angie at one end of this, it's a circle, but she's at one side of the circle, and I see John at the other side of the circle, and they look at each other. God's showing me they're looking at each other. There's a nod, and I hear a, now! 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 And I see everyone in unison, in a place of unity, stepping into that fire, getting the ignition of the fire, and then turning and going and lighting up the whole region. See, it's not this place of we're going to be insular, we're going to close in. It is the point of expansion is what God's doing. So come into that place of family, but not family that we're so comfortable that we don't look to go and get more family. And so God is saying there had to be some people that had to leave for this season to happen, which is probably just only confirmation. You've got the right family with you now. Amen? Amen? Okay, you can be seated. Unless you're between 17, between 17 and 30 years old, would you stand to your feet? Yeah. So Mike, stand up with your baby. Actually, I said the wrong. You can, anybody who's under 30, would you stand up? Anybody under 30? Yeah, yeah. Kisikototoko shokototakashi. We'll wait for the kids to get back. Just sit down. I'm looking at time, so I want to run through some other things. Hi sikoto tokashi, hasikata tokashi, hi I see the Canadian group, the car of four. Are there four of you in the car? Yeah, I see massive, like some strategic planning going forth for you, Rebecca. I see some ideas that you've not had before. It's not that you were closed off to them, just absolutely hadn't had the download of it. I see some ideas coming forth, and I see a 180 turn coming for strategy in ministry, in how some things are going to be rejigged to come into a completely new trajectory that you hadn't seen. And I see those conversations happening on the drive back. You've got plenty of time to do that, so enjoy it. And I see that there's a real invitation from the Lord to come into a greater sense of enjoyment in the ministry, and God is saying, I'm going to show you new processes that allow the space to be able to enter into that, says the Lord God. Amen? Amen. Okay, so if you're under 30, will you stand up? Yeah. This is your gold mine. This is your gold mine. They are the most important demographic of this house. Like, you're super important, Annabelle. You know that, right? Yeah. Yeah, and you know there's strong prophetic gifting that stirs in you. I don't know exactly how it's going to develop. It may develop into a governmental role, but I know that you're sharp prophetically, and prophetic art is going to be, like, a really big deal to you, and it's going to help a lot of people. But you definitely are going to operate in the prophetic quite prolifically. We might do it together. Would that be good?
Yes.
Yes, I think so too. Okay, for these standing up, you are the solution. Like, it's really important that you hear, and this is what I love about working, because that's what I'm doing now in Ireland and Northern Ireland. More about it, 2 years ago now, I really felt there was a church that I work with. I've worked with them for like 17, 18 years, and they were like, we want to book you for this, we want to book you for this other women's conference, will you do this? And I said, I'll do all of it as long as you give me FaceTime with anyone who's 20 years old, 20 to 30 years old. And they're like, really? And I said, yeah, really. Because I'm looking to see where I can sow into legacy. And so I'm saying to you, in the place of the dreams that you get, the words of knowledge you get, it's time. You've kind of put it off to the side. It's not that you were denying it, but you weren't stepping into it. Just give me your hand. I pull you into the place of what God has called you to operate in the office of prophet. I pull you into the place that anything else will be less than what you have ever tasted. This is the wildness of what you've been designed to do. You are wild, and God says, I want to display my glory in your life. And I just see you, I see a passport in your hand. I see you going into, I see you going into other nations. And this the Lord gives you, John and Angie, not one hair on her head will ever be harmed. God gives you that promise, but she will go into tough areas. She will go into areas that she won't be able to let you know how it was or where she's at until she's back. God crowns you with mercy and grace and protection, and you will go, and there will be volumes written in other languages about what you went in and what you did, and you'll already be back, and they'll already be asking you, when will you come again? Come again, come again, come again. You are an Isaiah 61 prophet. You are sent in to set captives free, to see those who are brokenhearted, and you'll go in, you'll do the stuff, but you know what? There's speed on you. You're never going to be any one place too long. You would get bored. I get bored. I don't like, I want to keep things moving. I want to keep, you're wired like that. And so God's going to teach you how to move in quickly, move out, and keep going. And I bless you in the place of learning that journey. It's not through a school. A school didn't train me how to be a prophet. Holy Spirit carved me out. I didn't even know there were prophet schools. I only found out about that a couple of years ago. some of it's good and some of it isn't. So let Holy Spirit carve you out and enjoy the journey. It's a wild one. You're made for this. The gift of teaching that operates on the inside of you is massive. You can't help yourself. You just like understanding, we get here to here to here to here because there's a process. And you know what? There's peace in the process of how you teach others. You love well. It's a lie what the enemy has told you. Just give me your hand. You love well. The enemy has told you that you don't know how to love. It's a lie. He only knows one language, and that is to lie. I break that off of you right now in Jesus' name, that the lover of your soul comes to you and allows me to give you this voice. You do love well, and he loves you, and you will be a precious vessel all the days of your life that pours out love in ways that people have never experienced because you're willing to facilitate a teaching gift in their life that brings an understanding of what true love is. Amen? Amen. Yeah, you're a builder. You're an apostolic builder. And you go in and you know what? You're not so impressed with having a hammer in your hands, but you are impressed with understanding how a plan can come about and something can be built. So you might look at your dad or brothers and say, yeah, you guys go do that. I'm actually going to just plan the whole thing out. That's what I hear the word of the Lord saying. He's a planner. He's an apostolic builder. He likes understanding how something works. He doesn't actually, I'm hearing God say this, he actually doesn't like getting his hands dirty, but he actually is okay with planning how others will get their hands dirty. Yeah. And that's needed too, Zane. And I bless you to build the way that God asked you to build. You are a part of what God is doing in the rebuilding of something that's been very broken. Wow. I want to build with you. I want to run with you. I want to receive you in other nations. I want to be the mama at the airport saying, I'm here. I've got it all sorted. Come on, we got to go. And I bless you to come into the place of walking out what it means to walk out your calls in Jesus' name. Wyatt, we got business to take care of. You ready? Well, we're going there. There's no turning back now. You know what? God says this over you, what he said over David, that you love him with all your heart. You do. It's massive, Wyatt. Massive. Jesus is so proud of you because even though it's not popular, and even though you're still trying to find your own way with it, you've said yes to Jesus. And there's a whole process that your mom and dad don't even know about, but Jesus knows about. And you've given your yes to it. And you know what? You're the one that works with Zane that says, I'm okay about getting my hands dirty. And you have a servant's heart. And you have a heart like David. A heart that absolutely loves God. And I bless you on your journey to help Zane build things. Amen? Amen. 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 Titus. Did I get it right? Okay. We had a great time of ministry with you yesterday. And we myself and Peter and Tanya, and I encourage you. I told your mom and dad that I've made a recording on steadfastness. You recorded me. And I asked them to make sure that they listen to it. And I just encourage you, what Peter prayed into you about the heart of an evangelist. You do have such a heart for evangelism. That's going to grow, but it's all connected to steadfastness. And I really sense even now that God is saying, gone is the time of 10 steps forward, 5 steps back. No, this is a time that in steadfastness, eyes on Jesus, and he's developing you in the place of evangelism. I'm going to let you go back to that recording that we already did and build on that. And your parents, I know, but part of the word that Peter gave you was on that place of mentorship, of who would mentor you. Remember? That was pretty key in you taking some next steps. So if you're a part of this family, Peter gave out a really good word over Titus, but key in it was mentorship into his life. Amen? Okay. So you're a prophet. I believe you're a prophet. And I believe that you're going to do some extraordinary works of art that are going to allow for prophetic understanding that is being missed in the art world at the moment, but we will see it come forth. Maybe we'll do it together. Amen. Daniel?
Chance?
Why am I calling you Daniel? He is a Daniel. So you are a Daniel. And you know what has blessed me so much is the ministry that you've been able to give Miss Virginia. You've been loving on her, and I've been watching you. And I actually took your picture while you were loving on Miss Virginia. You love really well. And God wants you to know that in that place of being a Daniel, he's going to continue to give you prophetic insight, that you're going to have dreams, and you're going to actually tell Miss Angie and Mr. John that's what this means. That he's going to give you an understanding that you're able to articulate what God is releasing, just like he did with Daniel. Some pretty big things. Would you be up for that? Yeah, I would too. Can I have a hug?
Yeah. I said I could do ninja. I'm a ninja.
You're a ninja? Well, you're going to be a ninja for Jesus all the days of your life. Yeah, absolutely. Do you know what? What? You're like Joseph. You're like Joseph in the Bible. And I see favor coming on you that you've never known any day of your life. But God's pulling you into your true identity, your true purpose. And it's in the place of there is favor on you to rule and reign. You're coming into the place of what it means to mature. And I just see that there was a stuntedness that you didn't have opportunity early on to do, really be a little boy. And God's given you that in your home. But now, it's going to be a new page in your story. And you're going to begin to understand what it means to mature into the young man that God has called you to be. And in that, God gives you the favor that was upon Joseph's life to rule and to reign. And so I bless you in the place of maturing in the fullness of what God has for you. Amen. Remind me of your name. Okay, well, we're going to go with Jordan. We're going to go with Jordan. Oh, gosh. Jordan, I just bless you in the place of expansion, because I see that you've started to take your toe, but I see you taking your toe in and taking it out, and taking it in and taking it out. And I just see you going for the place of taking the courageous step of what it means to journey with Jesus, with not just your toe in, but your full leg, going into the river. Now, what do I mean when I say the river? I mean that you're going into a place that you don't really know, but you know Jesus is saying, Jordan, you can trust me in this, that this is a new day for your story to come in, to journey with Jesus. It's always been there. You've just been dipping in and dipping out, dipping in and dipping out. And that I'm not giving out to you. You're not in trouble. I'm just telling you, stop doing it. Let's go in and let's see where this takes you for the glory of God. Amen? Did we get everybody?
Katie.
Katie, the best baby in the world. Well, Katie, I did see prophecy over you that you're going to be the one. Yes, you are. You're going to prophesy and you're going to release. And I actually see the two of you, Annabelle. I see you drawing things and I see her giving the prophetic revelation of it, that she's going to do a lot of the talking and you're going to do a lot of the drawing. Could that work? Yeah, I think it could too. And so I see that her articulation is going to be spot on. I see her developing into being a massive communicator, that she's going to be the voice. She's not only going to be a voice for her prophetic heart, she's going to be a voice for those who've never had a voice before. And I just bless her into the place. Yes, you are. Yeah. See? She's already a prophet trying to argue with another prophet. That's what we do. So I bless you in the place of the download of heaven and what God has called you to release his utterances to this earth all the days of your life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can sit down. Will everybody stand up? Yeah. See? Raise your hand if you partner with this word. I'm getting rid of pride. I'm getting rid of jealousy. I'm letting go of greed. I don't want to be a choking, lame, blind horse. I want to go in the right pen. I'm going to do it. I'm gonna do the process. All of us are traveling today someplace. My team's going to Missouri today. We've got plenty of time to have this conversation. We got 5 hours ahead of us. You've got an hour journey. You've got a 20-minute journey. You've got an airplane ride back. Please, please, let this be the story at Behold. I heard, I received, and I'm journeying it out. Father God, I bless all of these with their hands lifted that are partnering with this word from you, Lord God. God, I am so excited because this is our time to come together as the sons of God and to say, yes, we are willing to lay down our preferences. We're willing to do the difficult steps of what it means to let go of this, but more than anything, Jesus, we advance kingdom, we advance kingdom, we advance kingdom, we advance kingdom. What's the word of the Lord? Advance kingdom. What's God calling you to do? Advance kingdom. What's God calling you to live out? Advance kingdom. What's God calling you to partner with? Advance kingdom. What's God calling you to do in your workplace? Advance kingdom. What's God calling you to do in your family relationships? Advance kingdom. And sometimes advancing kingdom in your family means keeping your mouth shut. Sometimes advancing kingdom in your workplace or in the university session means opening up your mouth. And this is where, when you break partnership with pride, you are able to hear with clarity what the Lord, because you're in a place of humility. And I bless you and I stand with you to walk this journey out. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. It's been a massive blessing to be with Angie and John and the team. We had the pleasure in Ireland of receiving Angie and John in April. Was it April? And the servant-heartedness, you know what's great? Bye. Love you guys. See you again. The willingness, you know what's great when leader to leader is when you can just say, no, here's the story. And Angie and I get to have those conversations in just saying, yeah, we can dance around this, but let's just actually cover some ground here. I so appreciate that about Angie and John. I'm so disappointed that we disappointed John really for just about almost a week in Ireland. We do not have Diet Dr. Pepper in Ireland. If you come to Ireland and it's a necessity to have Diet Dr. Pepper, we don't have it. You'll need to pack it. We have Dr. Pepper, but we do not have Diet Dr. Pepper. So there's a little travel tip for you. It was great to be here. Ireland blesses England. Ireland blesses Canada. Ireland blesses America. Ireland blesses Wales. Ireland blesses Kansas. Amen. Angie, thank you so much. I'll give this back to you. I believe there's some other things that are stirring for Angie.
Bernie had just mentioned that he had some things that he wanted to share. is John. You and Angie. When we came into Junction City, I sensed what I felt about Junction City was that this was a place that people pass through. The people don't stay. They come down the highway and they go through. And we stopped at a little rest area before. And because we've got this Mustang on hire, which is interesting. And somebody said to me, "Oh, why haven't you got your top down?" Because it basically was so hot. And he said, "Well, where are you going?" He said, "We're going to Junction City." And he sort of sighed, you know? And there was a little bit of a shrug of the shoulders that said, "Well, why would you want to go there?" And what I felt was that those days of being overlooked, those days of being considered junk town, as you called it, those days are over. The Lord is saying that you no longer are a people or a town that need to hide away in the background. But in a crowded room, you sit at the back hoping that you won't be noticed. Those days, says the Lord, I'm going to end. And there is going to be an expansion of the population of this city that means that people don't go, but they stay. Because there's such a move of God about this place. And that there is a favor here that is different than how it was before, or how it was formed, or how it was founded all those years ago. And God wants to say to you that this is where I make the difference. And the Lord also wants to say that people will come to you and they will say you can't do it, that it will never happen, that there are giants in this place that you can't overcome. And they will say to you, you are like grasshoppers. But the Lord hasn't called you here to be a grasshopper. He's called you here to be giant killers. And that is the role that he has established in you, to be giant killers. And the Lord doesn't tease us by calling into places and say, yeah, well, you know, you are a grasshopper. God doesn't call you that. He calls you giant killers. And that is your true identity. And my son, a few years ago, he gave me this little bottle of aftershave. And it's called True Identity. And the company is called Next. So there's something. And I've kept this for years and years and years. And what I've done in the past is that when I found that people needed to know that they are coming into their true identity, I've anointed them with this little bit of aftershave. Because whenever they... yeah. I've put it on ladies as well, I say. So it's just to say that when you smell this over the next couple of hours, he wants to remind you that this is that God has called you into. And that you head this. You are like Caleb and Joshua, who went into the land and said, we can do it. Their protection is gone. And this is the moment where you say, we can do it. And we won't listen to 10 spies who could totally forgot who they were. They forgot that they were giant killers. And they accepted the fact that they were grasshoppers. And the Lord wants to say to you, that's rubbish. It's rubbish. It's garbage. And no, don't you ever, and the Lord is confident about this, that you don't take that on yourself. So if it's okay, if I could just put a little bit on your wrist, and you just, I'll just leave it. pray for John and Angie. I pray for this anointing, Lord, that is upon them, that the Lord is new, that it's breakthrough, that it's, Lord, that the area of heaven is thin for them. The connections are thin and powerful. And we pray your anointing on them. We pray fresh anointing. We pray fresh oil upon them. We pray, Lord, that the fresh new wine that they, Lord, that is here, blesses this city. That there will be a change, and thank you for the change in atmosphere. Thank you, Lord, I pray for the release of the wild horse here. That, Lord, there are people here who will be changed from one degree of glory to another degree of glory. Because what has been released here this week, these last few days, what has been prophesied, Lord, over them these last few days, and what has been released into the atmosphere just this morning. So we pray that, Lord. We bless them. We bless them so much. We thank you for them. We thank you for all that they carry. And that, Lord God, that you look after them, we pray. Look after them. Watch over them. Cause them to flourish. And we bless them in the name of Jesus. For his name and for his glory. Amen.
Yesterday when Angie was speaking, I saw four angels behind her. And they were carrying shovels. They were shoveling. And I said to Rebecca, I don't know what they were doing. You know, they were shoveling. And when you said today that you were from mining stock, the Lord said, that's it. They were shoveling. But actually, I was just asking the Lord about it. And he said, and this is for you and John, he said He wants you to call on them. He wants you to know when is the time to dig, when is the time to blast, and when is the time to pull out the treasure. And the scripture is from Isaiah 45. I haven't got the glasses on, so this is a guess. So it, you know, it talks about going before you and leveling the ground, and you know, just breaking into pieces the doors of bronze and the gates of iron and that kind of thing, and giving you the treasures of darkness. But the Lord says, you need to ask me when the time to dig is, because yesterday there was a time to dig and the angels were here and they were digging. When the time to dig is, when the time to blast is, and when the time to pull out the treasures.
Last summer, when Rebecca was here, she had offered us a word, and it was about us being a deep, deep well, and that God was looking for a place to pour out more in, but that he was reinforcing our walls with iron. Do you remember that? So I have a study that was done on Junction City from way back when, and I just discovered, was that this last week, maybe the week before, that they had initially found iron in the land here in Junction City. And so it's far more significant. And I have sat in it. Like, one thing that I am just, like, obsessed with is stewarding well a word. And I want to get to the bottom of it. I am a treasure hunter. It's just kind of in my nature. And so I have, like, really wanted to understand, like, what is this iron piece, God? Like, why would you put iron in water? It rusts, you know? but then to find out that there's actually iron in the land, and when they went to go excavate it, they ran into salt water instead, and so they got distracted and with the salt water and began to do things with the salt instead. And So there's still iron in the land. So it's just very, very exciting. And I am so blessed. We are so blessed to have all of you join us, not just the speakers, but all of you, because you prepared your hearts to be here. Somebody said to me last night, it was Tanya, we were talking in the kitchen, and she's like, this has just been so smooth. And it has, thanks to everybody who did the work prior to coming. You prepared yourself to be here, so thank you for that. We knew that it was not just a typical conference where you come to be fed, where you come to just take, but everybody came to offer what it was that they carry. So thank you. Thank you so much for that, for everybody that has put forth the time and the effort and the expense to be here. It matters a whole lot to us. So and we pray that you're blessed, that you're taking back something with you from this weekend. Yes. This is the fourth year that we have done this, and Rebecca has been here all 4 years. The first year was, you know, in the middle of 2020, and so it was online. And but she has so graciously poured into Unedited Life over and over and over again. I mean, ultimately, she'll probably hate this, but she's our mama. She just is. She is the mother of the house, and we honor you. Thank you. All right. Go in peace.